It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter at Cap J-Hood. This is ESPN 1000. That's why I see him in the shot. No shot. With Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I see
him in the shot. Shot, no shot. Brought to you by the wonderful people at PointsBet Sportsbook. At Hawthorne Racecourse and their locations in Crestwood and Prospect Heights. PointsBet Sportsbook is now open. Download the PointsBet app right now and then stop by Hawthorne Racecourse to register your account. And I'm hearing it's right around the corner that you will have mobile registration back. You can sign up on your phone and have it.
Saw that on the news last night.
There we go.
You know why? Because my friend David Kaplan cornered the governor.
That's true.
Covered him. He cornered him right there at Swift & Sons. Governor David Kaplan, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, you know, we're working on it. So
he cornered him. And so now we're going to get answers. So you can thank Cap for all that.
I was out on the patio. We were at the dinner. There he goes. The governor sneaks out of the dinner. He was at a different table. There he goes. Two big, huge security guys. I'm like, excuse me, governor? These two dudes step right. Yeah? He looks at me. David Kaplan from ESPN. Hey, I listen to you and Jonathan in the morning sometime. Oh, yeah. Thanks. Appreciate it.
It's a lie.
You're doing something that is killing the sports gaming industry and, in turn, all the advertising outlets here. What do you mean?
He knows.
Why do you not let people sign up mobily? That's like DraftKings. You have to drive forever to that location, or FanDuel. PointsBet has local, but all of them. And he's like, I got you. It's coming. I'm getting that fixed.
It's out of my hands, he told you.
He said, the guy at Rivers has more power than I do. But yes, that little codicil in the law is changing.
Always remember one thing. Always depend on one can Dan to get the story. Because Cap wouldn't have done that without a few drinks under his belt.
One.
That's what happened, Danny. Danny.
Sounds like a hell of a day, guys.
Well, he was, you know, he was drinking all day, and then he got enough liquid courage to go up to the governor. Could have been arrested. Could have been tackled.
That's it.
Governor. Oh, God. Help me. I've been arrested. I don't have a weapon. I just have a cocktail. Oh, God.
I got right in the middle of the dinner and ran him down.
It's unbelievable.
Danny.
Gentlemen, are we ready to begin shot or no shot?
We are.
What's up, Danny?
What up, Hoodie? How you doing? Hey,
chilling.
Not the most recent curbed this Sunday, but two Sundays ago. Did you watch that Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I have not seen any except the first one.
Well, I know. That's why I'm asking Jonathan Hood.
Wow. There's
something wrong when I'm watching more Curb than you. That's not very odd. Could you give me the theme? Because I feel like I might have missed it.
Larry David borrows a shirt from Vince Vaughn to go on a date.
I've not seen that.
Okay. Well, it made me think of you because Larry David goes on a date. He needs to borrow a shirt from Vince Vaughn. He goes and borrows a shirt from Vince Vaughn. He tells Vince Vaughn that he needs to borrow the shirt because he's going on a date with this lady. And Vince Vaughn goes, oh, you and she are chopping it up. Immediately, anybody that listens to this show and anybody that watched Curb had to think of you.
I'm going to watch it because we definitely need to review that.
And he said it and it made sense. It fit for him to say it.
You know
it
what?
It didn't sound awkward like when Cap says chopping it up. It flowed from Vince.
It's not awkward when I say it.
A little bit.
It is not.
A little bit.
You only say it on the show. Do you say it where you live?
Yeah, I do.
What? They look at you like the jerk and Steve Martin? The new phone books are here. Go ahead, Danny.
Gentlemen, let's begin with the Chicago Bears. Roquan Smith, he suffered a hamstring injury that has him working away from the team at Hallis Hall as he attempts to recover. With Khalil Mack lost for the season, Akeem Hicks is on the mend from an ankle injury. Losing Roquan for any amount of time would be a huge blow to that Bears defense. Smith has 113 tackles, including 8 for a loss, 3 sacks, 3 passes defended, and a pick 6 on the year. He's definitely been the Bears' best defensive player. The Arizona Cardinals, the Bears' next opponent, ranked 10th in the NFL in total offense. I ask you, gentlemen, shot or no shot? If Roe can't go, the Bears have 0 shot at winning on Sunday.
That's a no shot. Anything can happen, and bringing Arizona into the cold weather
Kyler has not been healthy. He is expected to come back. I do think they're a very, very good team. But I remember a few years ago when the Rams were really good and they rolled in here. The year they went to the Super Bowl, I believe, and the Bears beat them. It was chilly. So it's not a guarantee they're going to lose, but certainly Roquan is an impediment to the Bears winning.
I will say no shot. As much as I enjoy Roquan Smith and he's been all over the field, I don't think that's a difference between a win and a loss in that spot. And I'm not saying that Christian Jones is Roquan Smith or Cassius Marsh. I'm not saying that he's that either, or Travis Gibson. I'm just saying that I think the Bears have enough to be able to get by and win this game. I know how much of an impact the Roquan Smith is, but I still think the Bears can, at least on the defensive line, I can believe in. The secondary, different story.
Sidebar, gentlemen.
You may approach, brought to you by Enken Law, $3,126 million for the best. Howard Enken.
Gentlemen, we never discussed the Bears Thanksgiving Day game. Do you think that Troy and Joe made way too big of a deal of Christian Jones deferring the deferment? Like that storyline went
on the coin toss
the whole game, and it was like they played the audio, and the audio wasn't even entertaining of him deferring the deferring. But then they wouldn't let it go. I get it; they had nothing to talk about, and they were both miserable to be in Detroit doing that game. But I thought that was a situation where they should have just moved on.
They were looking for a Jerome Bettis moment there that was not right.
Exactly,
we do recall this, right?
Oh, well, that's with Phil Luckett, or what was that guy's name? Luckett, the referee.
The official,
on the coin toss?
Yes.
Tail. That's not tails.
Right. That's right.
That's not what I called.
They were looking. You know what, Danny? Your point is valid. They were looking for a story that really wasn't. And I understand it's two bad teams, but I agree with you that they did stretch it out a ton.
I got the beak look for a second, but now you're agreeing with me, so I feel good about myself. Yeah. All right, let's move on. Brian Kelly, as we all know, has left Notre Dame. He's becoming the next head football coach at LSU. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame currently ranks sixth in the latest CFP rankings. It's still in contention to reach the third college football playoff in 4 years. No previous Notre Dame coach has ever left the Irish, winners of 8 national championships as voted on by the Associated Press, to take a job at another school. Kelly's the first one. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, Kelly's departure is an indication that Notre Dame is not an elite college football program.
Shot.
How about that?
Take that, Irish.
You know what? Shot. You're a stepping stone program, Irish. Oh, I know that pisses you off. I know those of you listening in South Bend and the surrounding areas, I know you don't like that right there at the tollway. You don't like, but you know what, though? That's what you are, pal. That's what you are. You're not in a real conference, and God bless you. I like your non-conference when you, take on the USC's of the world and take on some Big Ten foes. But you know what? Brian Kelly looked at you and said, LSU's better. And quite frankly, that is a better job these days. Historically, Notre Dame has been a great program. But you know, when you make errors like O'Leary and Willingham, not giving him the full opportunity to succeed in that job and all, I just think that it used to be a great program, not at this point in time. It has to be able to be in a position where you're in the mix every year for the national championship,
okay,
like it used to be.
Okay, so you said no shot, or how did you answer it?
Oh, no shot. Are you an elite program?
Okay, so I can't believe I'm going to say this, but shot. It is an elite program.
It is.
They recruit really wonderful players. They have academic standards that some other schools just choose not to enforce for their football players.
It is.
They are sixth in the country, I think, in the latest playoff ranking.
I did say that in the question.
Correct. The audience changes.
You don't listen to two-thirds. What did Hood say? You don't listen to two-thirds of the show. The only two-thirds you listen to is yours.
It's not the audience changes. You change.
So
every 40 seconds, the audience is always changing.
It is absolutely an elite job. Do I hope they never score another touchdown in the history of the university? Never another point? Damn right. I can't stand Notre Dame. Arrogant-ass fan base.
Okay.
I hope they get left out of the playoff.
Well,
I find that when they lose, it's a great day. That said, it is an elite university, and it is an elite program. That's why I revel in their failures.
Sixth-ranked Irish.
That's it. They're elite. It's an elite program. They may not play at the level of Georgia or Alabama, but they're a great program. They are.
But they're an elite program.
They elite. Are. When you're sixth in the country and you're 11-1, yeah, you're elite.
Mm. Is Cincinnati elite?
Cincinnati is not an elite program. It's a very good program.
What's their record? What are
That's
they ranked?
That's a one-year fluke. We have never seen them at this level. Notre Dame every year is in the discussion of being a top 10 team. Yes.
What, Danny, what you got going on back there? Is that Christmas music?
Roz is listening to some Christmas music. The great Roz Varon of ABC 7.
Hey,
she
Roz,
is,
turn off the light. For God's sake.
She's very into the holiday spirit.
She is?
Yes. Wow. Very much so.
Hmm.
Reading between the lines of your answer, Hoodie, are you indeed saying that Kansas is a better program right now than Notre Dame?
That's correct.
Yes, me too. Basketball. All right, gentlemen, moving wow. on.
And Mike Bray, how long, huh? That's not McLeod over there on the sidelines. I like Bray personally, but you going to move the program along a little bit or no?
Yeah, that's starting to run a little thin. Danny.
I made you say Notre Dame's elite. That's awesome. Got it on tape, too.
Gentlemen, Home Alone, the famous mansion, which resides in a beautiful suburb of Chicago, is going to hit Airbnb for one night and one night only. One lucky bidder will be able to secure the house for $25. The bidder and four guests will get to spend the night there. It will be decorated in Christmas. It will look exactly how it looked in the movie.
I ask you, gentlemen,
shot or no shot, if I win the bid, you will spend the night in the house with me.
Yes, shot.
Absolutely.
Shot. And we do the show from there in the morning.
Shot.
That'd be amazing.
Are you going to really seriously put your bid in there?
150%.
Do you need money? Or
it's $25. I think I could pull this one off.
I'm just trying to help you here. I got something. Hold
you
on
can,
a second.
You can buy the groceries.
How much fun would that be?
Danny, I'm 100% in on that. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Now, would you let us in to give us a nice broadcasting a spot, table?
How great would it be? It would be the five of us. You two, me, Meller, and JR. I have to find out if they allow smoking in the house. Maybe JR won't be allowed to come.
Oh.
Or he could use the backyard or his edibles.
I like the Cap to be playing the role of the Joe Pesci role. You're bald. We could burn your head with the torch.
Yeah.
Hit him in the face with an iron.
Kick you in the balls a few times.
Have you ever seen Home Alone?
Yes.
All right.
Stop yourself, Dan.
Well, you haven't seen a lot of great movies.
What's she talking about back there?
It's Christmas, holiday stuff. The traffic that's going to be on Christmas, too.
I understand that, but we're on ESPN. He's got the light on. I don't think they need any of our help. I think they're doing fine.
They're doing just fine.
This happens when you play Christmas music 12 months out of the year.
Carmen and Yurko were first.
Cut my wrist. Jeez. That's a lot. That's a lot of Christmas. I don't mind a nice carol every now and then, but my God, 24/7?
It.
Cap.
All right. Mike Tomlin showed Matt Nagy what a legit head coach does when he addresses the media.
24/7.
That's next.
Take that.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and J Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Hope your morning's off to a solid start. Pour your coffee, have some laughs with us on Cap J Hood every weekday morning from 7 until 10. Download the awesome ESPN 1000 app. It's amazing how many people walk by here, point at their AirPods that they're listening to the show.
How crazy is that, Danny? Like, that is just so new to me over the last year. People point at the iPod and just keep walking, right? Whether they're on their way to work or jogging, they're just like, iPod pointing at the window and keep it going. It's amazing.
It's awesome.
Love that.
They see you, and then 7 seconds later, they hear what you said.
That's so great.
It's hilarious. And then there's a one guy who's got, like, long hair, and he's always wearing, I think, a Purdue shirt.
He's a Purdue guy, yeah.
And he runs by here every day because he's jogging,
mm-hmm.
and every day He only makes eye contact with Jonathan. They waver, salute each other. And one day, Hoodie was looking down. The guy ran by, stopped, backpedaled, made sure he made eye contact with him, and then picked up his run again. Remember that?
That guy's always in a full stride.
Always. And he's fast.
This is perfect for him during like the pandemic because there's not a lot of people down here. So he can take full strides.
Yeah.
It goes fat. There he goes.
There he goes, and he's laughing. He's listening. That's the guy. We just bring him up, and there he goes.
He's got the Danny hair, and he's flowing, man. He's just having a good
long
time.
He's in shorts. He's running. He's got his black gym shoes on, his Purdue Boilermaker shirt with the big P on.
I love it.
Funny. Mike Tomlin yesterday
met
the media. But prior to Mike coming to the podium, their star receiver, former Notre Dame standout Chase Claypool, was asked, what can you do to increase intensity and emotion at practice?
Yeah, Chase, one of the guys, well, Mike Tomlin has said this, I think, pretty much all along. I know that that TJ and Cam yesterday after the game talked about, you know, practices need to be better. And I understand at the pro level, there's only so much intensity that you guys can compete with at this time of year. But what can you guys do at practice, and what needs to get better at practice in order for the team to improve?
Yeah, I think, this is something I've said since I was in college because we never had it, but I think, like, maybe some music would help. But we have music in the warm-ups, and that's always fun. People are dancing, having fun. So I think maybe music would make practice a little more fun and a little more up-tempo. That's my one suggestion. But Coach T's been doing this a lot longer than I have. So
then Mike Tomlin walked to the podium. That was relayed to him again. Matt Nagy's the nicest guy in the world, but you never hear any type of, like, fire out of the guy, like, I'm in charge. Here's Mike Tomlin.
Well, you know, Claypool plays wide out, and I'll let him do that. I'll formulate the practice approach, and I think that division of labor is probably appropriate.
That's it.
Woo! That's why you never let that guy go. You know why? Because if you're the Rooneys, you know that he's got full autonomy. There's only one boss, not the GM, not the owner. It's Mike Tomlin. Because when you have that autonomy, Cap, when you can be able to say, you know what, the standard is the standard. I coach. He's the wide receiver. You got to love that, right? And he doesn't want to hear that either. And the reason why he doesn't is because they're 5-5-1. You want to change practice now in midstream just to make sure that your shoulders are massaged, make sure that you're comfortable? No.
That division of labor is appropriate. I mean, that right there is the line. Yes.
Well, you know, Claypool plays wide out, and I'll let him do that. I'll formulate the practice approach, and I think that division of labor is probably appropriate.
You know what's subtle about that, too?
Damn right.
He calls him Claypool. Like, letting him know the way he calls him Claypool. He doesn't call him Chase, lovingly. Like, if Matt Nagy had the same situation, he would call him Chase. He'd be like, well, you know, Chase, he's a young guy. And he'd go through word salad and lovingly call him Chase with a big open arms.
Second answer.
As opposed to Tomlin setting the tone, Claypool.
This Nagy guy.
This is Mike Tomlin when he was asked about going to USC.
And Palmer connecting you to some college jobs.
Hey, guys, I don't have time for that speculation. I mean, that's a joke to me. I got one of the best jobs in all of professional sport. Why would I have any interest in coaching college football? That'll be the last time that I address it. And not only today, but moving forward. Never say never, but never. Okay? Anybody else got any questions about any college jobs? There's not a booster with a big enough blank check.
Anyone else? All right.
Thank you. Anybody asking Sean Payton about that? You know, anybody asking Andy Reid about stuff like that?
He stormed off.
Let me tell you something. All those buttholes are tight in that media room.
No question.
Tight.
How about that?
Oh, my God.
How about that PR guy? It's like his hype man. After he does that, the PR guy you hear in the background. Anyone else?
Yeah. I mean, seriously.
So good.
What are you going to say after that, right? What's your follow-up to that? He just told you straight out. You know what? He's like me in the meetings.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have time for your BS. This is the way it's going to go. The standard is the standard. Let's go play.
Well, you know, Claypool plays wide out, and I'll let him do that. I'll formulate the practice approach, and I think that division of labor is probably appropriate.
Imagine that if he's in Chicago. These loose-based questions. Mike, thanks so much. Welcome to Chicago. I don't need your welcome. We're just trying to get down and work.
Ask your question.
Welcome to Chicago. None of that.
Ultimately, it goes for me.
You know why? Because, and here's the thing. I know that for some, that comes off as, oh, man, that guy, he's mean and he's angry. He's not. He's direct.
He's direct.
And he's about business. He's not about your nonsense and your smiling and your grab ass. He's trying to win a championship.
Remember when Antonio Brown IG lived the team celebration?
Mm-hmm.
And he went off, Tomlin.
That's right.
You violated the sanctity of the locker room. He went off.
See,
and this is what we get.
Well, Ryan and Matt are our football guys.
Because everything's fine in Pleasantville. See, everything's fine.
The pie's cooling on the windowsill, as you like
to say.
There
it is. The pie's cooling on the windowsill, and the kids are playing ball and jacks, and they're skipping around and having a good time over at the wandering pool.
Yeah.
And then you go to Floyd's to get a nice barber and a nice shave and a nice haircut.
And then we'll get an iced tea on the way home.
Oh, it's so wonderful, huh? Aunt B, do you have the pie cooling on the windowsill? I have it right here, Andy. I mean, that's what it is in Lake Forest. Ultimately, citizens arrest.
For me.
Yeah, that's everything, right? It's everything's fine in Pleasantville. But over in Pittsburgh, though, he looks at a 5-5-1 team and says he doesn't feel like his job's on the line, but he realizes that the end's coming for Roethlisberger. I don't have time to be messing around. You want to have music and practice? We're 5-5-1? Oh, no. And I understand, especially in college, some coaches want to be able to pretend like football is like mock military.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to Gerard Sherry from our company here at ESPN mm-hmm. Cleveland. And he said, you know, it comes across sometimes as mock military. Like, you do it as I say, not as I do. You do exactly what you're supposed to be on time, all this other stuff, right? Well, when Mike Tomlin, he's not being mean, hurt, angry. That's not angry. You know what that is? That's saying, this is about business, right? Mm-hmm. There's no wiggle room. We're trying to win a championship here. Bottom line, period.
That's it.
And you got to like that. Imagine that here. Oh, God.
That's what they need up there. They need somebody like to hook up the electrodes to the heart, and bam, a brick in the face. Everything's changing.
And the McCaskey brothers saying, Mike Tomlin, our new coach of the Bear. Stop singing. We're trying to win a championship.
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
Well, Ryan and Matt are our football guys.
That's what I mean. That encapsulates why we suck. And they don't win every year, but they are as stable and solid a franchise as there is in American sport. Always, three coaches in 50 some years.
Always in the playoffs under Tomlin.
Always.
And Palmer connecting you to some college jobs.
Hey, guys, I don't have time for that speculation.
The best.
I mean, that's a joke to me. I got one of the best jobs in all of professional sport. Why would I have any interest in coaching college football? That'll be the last time that I address it. And not only today, but moving forward. Never say never, but never. Okay? Anybody else got any questions about any college jobs? There's not a booster with a big enough blank check.
Anyone else? All right.
Thank you. Anybody asking Sean Payton about that? You know, anybody asking Andy Reid about stuff like that?
That's right. He's right.
Anyone else?
Well, you know, Claypool plays wide out, and I'll let him do that. I'll formulate the practice approach, and I think that division of labor is probably appropriate.
The best. We need that to jumpstart that dead-ass building up there.
It's actually more ominous when you have the echo in that building.
It's the best.
Anyone else? He's actually more scary, more ominous. Like, he's more serious with the little Lou Gehrig echo on that mic in there.
So good. So good. Jesse Rogers on the Cubs, Sox, and the MLB lockout. That's next.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Rolling on a Cap J Hood, ESPN 1000. Jesse Rogers will join us in a moment. Danny, you got a little Bears news that's crossing the wire?
Gentlemen, from Adam Schefter, the Bears are signing defensive back D. Virgin to the practice squad. The Bears are signing D. Virgin.
Okay. You know what? Just give me the real news, right? His name's not that. What's his name now? What's the real name?
His name is D. Virgin.
Okay, that's fine, but what's his name?
D. Virgin.
You know what? I think it's inappropriate to talk about his sexual prowess and all that. Just tell me what his name is so we can move on.
He hasn't found the right lady yet, but what's his name?
His name is D. Virgin.
Okay, you know what? Now you're just being mean, okay? Maybe he hasn't been lucky in the bars, okay? Maybe he's just busy. You know, he's probably got a lot of work going on, everything else, just trying to find a job. Could you just give us the name so we know, you know, how he's going to be placed in the depth chart? He's going to be practice squad. What's his name?
Is it Bill Smith? Or?
My apology, guys. They are signing defensive back D. Virgin to the practice squad.
Of course. You guys haven't heard of D?
No.
D's nuts?
Wow.
There you go. That's how that works.
Thank you. All right. That leads us to our guy, Jesse Rogers. On baseball. Jesse, good morning.
How about that, Jess?
I'm doing good, guys.
You know who's not D Virgin, Jesse, guys?
That's the one I got that for. I tell you what. There's no question about that.
Fun show as always. Good to be with you on the final day of whatever this is called today. The offseason, I guess, for a while. Because there's going to be a lockout tonight at midnight.
What bust out of the Cubs signing today for a league minimum deal?
Clint Frazier didn't do it for you. Yan Gomes didn't do it for you.
I said to Hoodie, I truly believe, and people around Contreras believe, the Yan Gomes signing is the prelude to whenever this nonsensical lockout happens and is over, he will not be a Cub. He'll be traded.
Yes, I thought at the end of the season that he would be moved, and that was before they signed a quasi-starting catcher. So I'm in your camp. I'm with you. In fact, I think this is how it could go. You sign Yan Gomes right before the lockout, and then for 2 months, who is Jed Hoyer allowed to talk to? Only other executives on other teams. He can't talk to agents. So here's this chance to, all right, I have a catcher in the fold. Now I can listen on Wilson Contreras for the next 2 months or however long the lockout lasts.
Mm-hmm.
For all we know, the day the lockout ends, they'll announce a trade of Wilson Contreras. Now that's if he likes what he hears. They could also go to the season with both guys if the NL has a DH. I talked to someone in the know that said, look, Contreras could catch about 90 to 100 at most and DH for 30 or 40, and Yan Gomes gets a bunch of starts behind the plate. So there are options if they are both on this team, but you are paying Gomes a pretty hefty price to be a pure backup, so you expect he's going to get starts and maybe be the full-time starter with a young staff if they trade Contreras. So I think it's interesting the timing of Gomes, and now as the lockout hits, Jed Hoyer's ability to only talk to other executives. So why not listen?
We asked for you to go to ESPN.com and read our friend Jesse Rogers because he has a thorough breakdown of what's going on with this pending lockout. So I'll ask you, Jess, just based on everything that you know, how big is the gap and the disconnect between Tony Clark and Rob Manfred and the owners? Because it just seems as though we went through this during the pandemic a couple years ago, and here we are again. So how wide is the gulf between the two sides?
It's wide because they're stuck on 2 points. The players want free agency after 5 years, basically, and they want arbitration to start after 2 years. Now, if they got both those things, that's a huge influx of money into the pie for the players. If you start the arbitration clock after 2 seasons instead of 3, all of a sudden the money starts going up, 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 up. If you get to free agency after 5 instead of 6, boom, we know what can happen. Look at the last few days. The league says, no, those are non-starters. Those have been part of baseball economics for 30 years, 5-6 years after for free agency, 3 years for arbitration. They won't move. Neither side will move. I do think the league has tried to address some things in their offers. They offered an NBA-style lottery draft to sort of try to curb tanking. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not the worst record that automatically gets the first pick in the draft. All the non-playoff teams would be put in the lottery, and the top 3 picks would be pulled from that lottery. Now, if you're the worst team, you do get better odds, just like the NBA. But they're trying to address a few of the things on the outside, on the edges, but not the core economic issues. While the players, and this is my only criticism of the union, so far is they've kind of drawn this thing out. They really haven't made a serious attempts in a daily, weekly manner. I think the union wants the headline tomorrow morning to be owners lockout players. And so they get that going. And the owners say they're only locking them out to force the negotiations to another stage, because it's not like there's games being missed. And there's not much that goes on in the offseason between players and owners, other than the free agency, obviously. Mm-hmm. So that's what's going on. Free agency after 5, arbitration after 2. One side wants it. The other side says no.
So as this whole thing goes on and they lock them out, the players can't even train at the spring training facility, right?
It's crazy. Not only can they not train at spring training, they cannot be in communication. Like the Cubs pitching coach, Tommy Hotovy, can't call up, you know, Wade Miley and say, how you doing? You can't do any of that. In fact, team personnel have been instructed not to speak to reporters about their players. So I can't even call Frank Mannichino and say, how's Tim Anderson's offseason going? He's not even allowed to talk about his players. So it's crazy what this means. If you have your offseason plan, you're on your own now. You cannot communicate with the team at all, and they can't even speak to the media.
What about treatment for an injured player?
He's on his own.
Wow, no exception at all for a guy coming off Tommy John.
No. Now, I assume they've set up a plan where they don't have to deal with team personnel. It's probably a lockout story I will do at some point. But, yeah, there can be no communication. Drug testing stops. All that stuff. So smoke up. I guess shoot up more for the steroids than anything. There's nothing, Cap. And again, it's more to force the issue than anything, because paychecks won't be lost, games won't be lost, and hopefully it forces things, you know, quicker. I don't know if there'll be moves today because, you know, you have to pass the physical and all that stuff. But, we saw a frenzy of moves, which I think the league has loved what's gone on these last few days. They can say, hey, look, mid-market teams, Detroit, Texas, they're spending. Mid-market players, Avisaíl García is getting paid. Who else? Wander Franco, before playing even a full season in the big leagues, is getting paid. The pitcher Alcantara for the Marlins getting $56 million before even getting to his fourth or fifth year of service time. So the league loves what's gone on these last few days, and it's brought up the idea that should there be a free agent deadline to create the frenzy that we see in the NBA and NFL on the first day of free agency. The league has proposed that as well to the union. Hey, let's make January 1. Every free agent has to sign by then, but the union says no, that'll give too much leverage to the owners on December 31st, for example. So There's plenty of disconnect between the sides still.
I know my friend here, David Kaplan, is living in a pipe dream, believing that the Cubs are going to spend money and try to get back in this thing. You could sell that they're trying to tank here because I don't see Contreras being around. They can't move the Hayward deal. Hendricks will be the number one guy on this team as far as value. So I'll ask you about the White Sox because, you know, Sox fans don't want to hear you talk about Schwarber. But however, I will say that there's still need for a left-handed thump. Based on the free agent list that you have in front of you, Jesse, what should the Sox be looking at here before 10:59? Because they need to shore up second base and have some left-handed power, don't they?
Yeah, I'd put more of my efforts into the left-handed power. Schwarber, Jock Peterson, Michael Conforto are still out there. The outfield market really hasn't moved. Nick Castellanos, but I think you're right. I think they need a lefty. I've been on that case for a year now. They signed up Lory García. You can always put him at second base if you don't improve there, but you need to improve your thump. I have not heard anything serious about Schwarber, for example. I think they've talked to all these left-handed guys, but I'm not sure if anything serious is going to get done by midnight tonight. Can I say one thing about the Cubs, though, or two things, actually?
Sure, for heaven's sakes. You're talking about, again, talking about a 100-loss ball club again. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Because, Cap, you've been ranting on it, and I think you guys have been right on the money on this stuff. But I want to say two things. First of all, I said at the end of the season on this radio station several times, the shortstop market would be the litmus test. If they're really serious about a quick rebuild, this is a once-in-a-generation shortstop market. If they sign one, that's a signal. Now, there's two left, Story and Correa. And Correa has said he would go to rebuild, but there's been no indication they're spending big money there. The other thing is the rhetoric, the vocabulary they used, the letter from Ricketts, the things that Jed Hoyer said. They have a loophole in this whole thing. They said they would spend, but they never said how much. Of course they were going to spend, because look at their roster at the end of the season. It was a triple-A roster. So when he says we're going to spend, well, they're spending on Yan Gomes. They're spending on Clint Frazier. They're spending on Wade Miley. They're just not spending on people that are going to win you a championship in the very near future. So that's their loophole. And this whole idea of we're going to spend but do it wisely. Because at the end of the day, they can say, well, we didn't sign Correa because we're spending wisely, and we didn't think it was wise to spend $300 million.
We're almost out of time. Let me just quickly ask you.
So I don't like the rhetoric. You know, they used a loophole to say all that stuff.
Buster only said this morning, Hoodie and I were reading the tweet, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, the Giants, the Cubs can be looped in with that. None of them are spending because they want to know what the new rules are, and they think the prices right now are insane. Do you think... leave the Cubs out of it. Those other teams are going to get back engaged after the fact, and maybe the Cubs are going to, the Sox are going to do that.
Well, I think they're Yankees and Red Sox. Well, now those teams are a little bit closer to the CBT, right? Even the White Sox are moving in that.
Huh?
Yeah, the White Sox are even moving in that direction. The Cubs aren't anywhere close to it. So in terms of knowing what the CBT looks like, it doesn't matter to them. Now, Jed Hoyer said from the start, he's more interested in hearing the rules of the new CBA, and then he'll react. Meanwhile, the Rangers don't give a damn, right? They signed Semien and Seager. Now, maybe they're going to be proven wrong, because we know at the end of those contracts, the players usually, you know, look pretty bad on the field, broken down, not performing. So I'm not advocating they sign six free agents. That's not how you win a World Series. But if you want to move this thing along quicker, you have holes at first, short, third, left, right, I don't know, maybe center. I mean, you have holes all over the place. So to sign one or two core pieces, I think, would be the thing. Now, again, Cap, from the beginning, I never thought they were going to spend big. Could the new rules and the new CBA and the market, what it looks like after the lockout, change their thinking? Yes. Jed Hoyer said they want to be nimble. They want to be able to adjust and change their thinking on the fly like they did in picking up Wade Miley. So you have to say anything's possible. Do I think they're signing Story or Correa? No, I don't.
All right, we got to roll.
Let's see what happens.
Jess, have a good day.
You too, guys. Take care.
All right, one NFL head coach is not a fan of Brian Kelly. Get in line. Next.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Clones. Welcome back.
So as we were in our morning meeting, Danny brought up an interesting story.
Clones.
From Danny, it was Robert Saleh, the head coach of the New York Jets.
Correct, Robert Saleh.
Robert Saleh, the head coach of the Jets. And who was the other coach that you were talking about?
Matt LaFleur's brother.
Matt LaFleur.
Yes.
He's 35-9, by the way, as the head coach of the Packers.
It was Mike LaFleur, right?
Mike LaFleur is his name, correct.
Who's a coordinator in the league.
They were low-level assistant coaches at Notre Dame under Brian Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And Saleh told a story. Now, he didn't just tell this story yesterday, but it's coming up because Brian Kelly's in the news. He told the story back in 2019, so 3 years ago. Robert Saleh, Matt LaFleur's brother Mike, they were low-level assistants on Brian Kelly's team. They get an invite to the head coach's house for a huge party with boosters and you name it, they're going to be there. They get the invite to the party. Robert Saleh, Mike LaFleur show up to the party excited. They can't believe that they made the invite list. And Brian Kelly tells Saleh, go shovel the snow. And Mike LaFleur, go park the cars. After the party, then Saleh and LaFleur had to bring the cars back to the guests. So they were basically valets. So they were not invited to the party as guests, as they hoped, but they were actually invited to the coach's house to be help.
So my college roommate became a high level. He was the offensive line coach at both Arkansas and at Ole Miss for Houston Nutt. And he was considered one of the best. He's retired now. One of the best offensive line coaches in the country. But when he started, he was a graduate assistant under Lou Holtz I think Barry Alvarez was the assistant at Notre Dame, right, Hoodie?
Yes.
And Urban Meyer's there. All these, you know, young coaches. As the GA, I said, so what are your responsibilities? Well, they didn't have digital tape like they have today. He had to literally cut the film like you and I did in radio with a razor blade. Mm-hmm. You would splice the plays together and then glue it together and it would be on a projector. He'd have to do that to all hours of the night. He said, and then in the morning I had to go pick up whichever coach told him, his dry cleaning and run errands. I mean, that was the way it was back then. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can get away with that today.
Point is, though, is that that's abuse of power. That's correct. The reason for the story. And just being a Jag, kind of a Jag.
And they thought they were invited to the party. They didn't learn that they were going to be put to work till they arrived.
Like, it'd be different if he went up and said, hey, Jonathan needs you to, if you're interested, you're going to make an extra 50 or 100, whatever they're going to give you.
Yes.
Plus tips. You're going to park all the cars tonight. It's just for the full-time staff. That's different if they walked in knowing it and did it.
Look, we're all different people, but like I would ask my staff or I would ask my friends, hey, help me. I'll be out there with you. Help me shovel the walk. Right? Help, because we're going to have a party. I wouldn't have my guys like a valet. Like, hey, toss my assistant the keys. Go get the car. Who does that?
Right.
That's just a bad guy. That's just bad form. You work with these people all the time. Just because they're under you doesn't mean that you have to treat them like servants.
But would it be different if Brian called, you were the graduate assistant, like making no money, and you're just trying to do whatever you can, pick up uniforms, to cut and tape, to whatever it is. And he said, Jonathan, I am having an event at my house on Friday night for the full-time coaches and some of our top boosters. Would you be interested in working that party, parking cars and doing whatever it is, and I'll pay you, you know, 200 for that, whatever the number is. That's different than, hey man, party at coach's house, you're invited, and when you get there, here's the keys, you're parking cars tonight.
I mean, I think that you could ask, that is for sure. That's better form than just getting there like, yeah, we're going to have a party here. Oh, by the way, you're going to shovel the walk and you're going to park the cars.
It's just a bad guy.
Yeah, it's not even better form. One is a legitimate offer, and to your point, Cap, grad assistants, you know, I think most people are aware, make almost nothing doing those jobs, those low-level coaching jobs.
Correct.
They're in it for the experience. So absolutely, that could be a good way to funnel some money to some grad assistants at an event where maybe they can also, from time to time, network with other people.
Correct.
However, doing it the way you did it is absolutely degrading and shows everything you need to know about Brian Kelly.
Yep.
And the fact that in the same story, Rob Domofsky wrote it, that Salah and LaFleur both made the vow, if they ever got to the level that Brian Kelly would, they wouldn't treat their staff like that. That shows you all you need to know.
Detroit Mike, what's going on?
So basically, Brian Kelly sat down before that party and watched Coming to America and treated his assistants like Semi and Akeem when they show up to his party. Like, seriously, does Brian Kelly own a McDowell's restaurant too? And his buns have no seeds? It's ridiculous.
That, Mike, that's awesome. Really, really good.
That is awesome.
Really good.
Right on, fellas.
Have a good day.
You too, bud.
That's very well done.
Very well
done. Yeah, exactly. But typical Brian Kelly, right? Even back then, Red Face Kelly, hey, do me a favor, park the cars and shovel the walk for me. I thought we were here at the party. Nah, got to work for me.
Yeah.
Why don't you do it, pal? Ah, I'm the host. He's probably got a nice little smoking jacket and an ascot on.
Yeah.
A nice red ascot to match his red face.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that guy.
Huh?
Anyway, not a fan of Brian Kelly. Never have been, though. 312-332-3776. We will discuss a report with you that Ryan Pace's days might be numbered. We'll share it in 2 minutes.